I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we have a lot to cover today. First of all, let me apologize in advance. I have a little bit of a cold. You can probably hear it. It kind of crept up on me out of nowhere, but I should be fine to get through it. I have some nice hot coffee here, and I have all of you out there. So what's going on? Let's do a quick recap. There's so much going on out there. Now we have the Biden boys. I guess we're gonna find out about Joe Biden and his son eventually, and what they did or did not do in Ukraine, as far as asking the government to overlook whatever apparent potential crimes young Biden was involved in, and I guess his father's attempt to manipulate that particular government so that they would not investigate and prosecute his son. You know, the billions of dollars that he very proudly announces, I'm sure you've heard it on the news clips, whatever, that he very proudly announced that he told them, you get rid of that prosecutor or you ain't getting that $1 billion. That doesn't seem to bother our friends in the media at all. What does bother them is that Trump called over there, you know, our president, the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, when he heard about this, and potentially, according to this whistleblower, who is an unknown person at this point, has said that Trump was asking questions about having Ukraine investigate what happened with that. Did Joe Biden actually get involved in that? Did his son actually commit some kind of a crime? What went on there? Oh my gosh, it is unbelievable that a president of the United States would be concerned about such a thing. And how's the press reacting? Are they saying, hey, wait a minute, we've known about this story for quite a while. We've never actually looked into it because, you know, we didn't want to damage any Democrats. But maybe we should look into this. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there was some quid pro quo from the Obama-Biden government to make sure that Joe Biden's son was taken care of. Now, I don't know that if any of that is true, but this is what has come out. But this is why when you get something like that, you have to investigate. If you remember what we said here on Chasing Justice many, many moons ago, when all this Russia hoax nonsense about President Trump came out, we were very clear here. If there's something to it, we should investigate it and find out. If Trump did something illegal, if he did something traitorous or whatever, that's something we need to know about. So if you're going to investigate, investigate. But an investigation has to be based on facts, not rumor, not something that is made up. Well, at the time, we didn't really understand that it was made up. That came out in the course of events, those events being President Trump getting elected and then having the ability to make sure that came out, as opposed to if Hillary had been elected, we know this would have all been history. We would never have heard a word about what she did, what they did, and how they made that all up. So let's see. We have Joe Biden's son getting billions of dollars from two places that Joe Biden, the vice president, was involved with. That would be China and Ukraine. So right off the bat, you have real situations that can be looked at. There is transaction records, so you can see that the money came. It looks inappropriate. Do you know how many people are sitting in federal prison for financial crimes based on the same kinds of things? Do you know what kind of jail time you would get if you were involved in financial crimes, all right? If you were involved in, let's leave it at that. It should be investigated. And again, once again, this is a situation where our media, our press, is failing us, failing the country, and failing their mandate, their constitutional mandate. They're not investigating that. Instead, they're going to investigate President Trump for making a phone call to ask about this situation. Well, he's the chief law enforcement officer in the country. He's the leader of the executive branch. And if he thinks something happened, it just so happens it may also benefit him that comes out. But you know what? What weren't we looking to benefit the Democrats by investigating Trump? Or isn't that what they're doing every single day right now? Isn't that what's going on in Congress? They're looking to benefit their candidates by smearing and besmirching the president, his reputation, and anyone who is in his administration? I think it's pretty clear that's exactly what they're doing right now. So our country is a mess when it comes to this politically. You know, we really have lost our way. Up is down. In is out. Right is wrong. It's amazing. So I had an interesting conversation the other day. I was on with Malcolm Out Loud and several other awesome AmericaOutloud.com personalities. And we were talking about the potential that what if Trump does lose? What does that look like for our country if Trump loses? Which was interesting because I wrote an article a couple weeks ago about socialism and how young people think it's, you know, it's really cool and where that could lead us. So if you haven't read that article, go to AmericaOutloud.com. You can read that article. It's up there on the platform, either under my tab or on the front page. And you kind of get an idea of where we're going with this. So what happens if, for some reason, the president pulls it out and wins? That's great. You know, good things take care of themselves. But what if he doesn't? What if he loses? And that was the topic of Viewpoint. So if you can go listen to Viewpoint, you can pick it up on the podcasts, on iHeartRadio, and lots of other places. But if you go get that one, it was really interesting. So what would happen if the president loses? Well, let's just say he loses and the House of Representatives stays in Democrat hands. And we get a Democrat president, a Democrat Congress, but the Senate stays Republican. Well, what you would have is a left-wing president, because I don't think Joe Biden is going to be the eventual nominee. It looks like Elizabeth Warren is climbing in the polls on the left. And I think it's starting to become clear that, you know, Joe Biden may have had a very interesting career, culminating with 8 years as vice president. But I think there comes a time for all of us as human beings when we reach an age that we are just not as slick, as smart, as on time for things as we used to be. Now, that's just a reality. That's not putting down anyone because of their age, because you know what? We're all getting older. You know, you're going to find out if you're in your 20s, you're at the top of the world. You're really learning. You're buzzing. Your 30s, your 40s, and 50s, you're really cranking. When you get into your late 60s and your 70s, you know, you start to slow down a little bit. Sometimes your thinking slows down. Not everybody. You know, we talked about my mother-in-law who passed a couple weeks ago. She was 81, and she was as sharp as a tack as anybody. She could sit down and talk to you about any topic in the world and be right on point. Memory was perfect. No problems whatsoever. And there are other people who are in their 70s who start to suffer the frailties of age. And I think we're seeing that with Joe Biden. I think we're seeing the slowing down of his thinking processes. And it's just natural. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing to put him down because he's older. You get someone who's in their 70s that's sharp as a tack, they can certainly be president into their 80s. And, you know, I've seen very, very astute people in their 90s who are not ravaged by age. But I think Mr. Biden is probably at that point. So I don't think he's going to be the eventual nominee. I could be wrong. You know, he's still leading in the polls, but we'll see what happens. But this Elizabeth Warren is starting to rise, which is pretty funny. Can anybody say cultural appropriation? Isn't that something that if a Republican did such a thing, people would be standing in the streets screaming with pitchforks that they culturally appropriated somebody else's culture? And here we have a woman who claimed for years on official documents that she was an American Indian. And it turns out, you know, she's no more an American Indian than somebody from a foreign country somewhere else. And it's just amazing that she gets a pass on that. We're not going to bring that up. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to complain that she culturally appropriated anybody. But in this day and age of political correctness, can you imagine if somebody who's conservative or on the right culturally appropriated anything? Holy moly, people be losing their minds. All right, so we see her rising in the polls, and she is a left-wing radical. I mean, she is a socialist, and she is coming for us, for all of us. Now, what happens if she wins? Okay, well, if she wins, And in our scenario, let's say she wins, she has the House of Representatives, but not the Senate. All right, so she's going to propose, they're going to propose all kinds of crazy legislation, which they will pass. And of course, the Republican Senate will bottle up. You know, if they're Republican in the Senate, they will bottle it up. They will not pass it. At least I would hope that they wouldn't. Unfortunately for all of us, we know what our Republican Senate can be like. Not all of them. I'm really happy about Lindsey Graham has done the right things. I've seen him do some good stuff. So maybe they would hang on and fight back. But you know what? In the face of having the presidency and the Congress and the media all beating these guys up, I think we would probably see a lot of compromises on the right. I think that would become their new buzzword for survival, that they want to keep their cushy Washington jobs. They want to be the senator from wherever. And I would think you would see a lot of the left-wing agenda that they would like to push down our throats. I think we would see a lot of that signed off on by many of our Republican friends in the Senate, because, you know, they wouldn't want to have stories written about them. They wouldn't want to be attacked. They would want to be seen as good guys and good girls doing the right thing. So I think we would still have a problem. Let's change the scenario now a little bit. Elizabeth Warren is, or any one of the left-wing nuts, is elected president. She has the House of Representatives, and she gets the Senate. Well, that's the game changer. That's the difficulty for America, because they are extremely anti-American, anti-traditional American, put it that way. Do I think that they hate their country? No, I think they love their country, but they just would love it in a different way, not the way you and I like America. You know, the whole freedom, liberty thing. I think they're kind of opposed to that. I think they see much better if people were controlled. But we're going to control them correctly, because it's never, we're not going to be, they're not going to be tyrannical dictators in the spirit of past people who have been tyrannical dictators in socialist nations. I think they would see themselves as the mommy or the daddy who knows better, and the recalcitrant children would be put in their place. So we would get rid of all your pesky private health insurance. That would go. You'd have government insurance, and you'd have to deal with that, because after all, it's not fair that everyone doesn't have the exact same kind of things. So they would make things fair, you know. And I think you would see a lot of people piling on, because they would be giving away a lot. They'd be giving away a lot of things. There's free health care. They would pass that. There'd be free health care, free college education. They would probably do something. There'd be reparations. So a lot of people who feel they are aggrieved and are owed things from the past, they would be covered. You would see the military budget slashed. You would see America shrink back from its responsibilities, because who are we to be out there running around telling people what to do? I would assume that in the first 6 months of that presidency, the press would be fawning and jumping all over, because, you know, first would be the first female president, the first woman president, and a huge liberal and a socialist at that. You would see Bernie Sanders in a position of authority, probably over the economy. You know, they would put him in the cabinet as the Treasury Secretary or something along that lines. You would see Cory Booker as the Attorney General, you know, because he would go out and make sure that the criminal justice system was fair for everyone. Criminals shouldn't have to always be punished for what they did, because, you know, they might need things and they did what they had to do. So I think the list would go on and on and on, and you would see this celebration by at least half of the people in our country who would vote for Elizabeth Warren. You would see the media ecstatic. Talk about Chris Matthews with the feelings running up and down his legs. He would be, he would be on fire, this guy, with feelings running all over him about how exciting and wonderful it's going to be. Then probably about 6 months in, when legislation starts to get passed, you know, they're going to reverse the Trump tax cuts. They're going to go after all the companies. They're going to probably try to take over the energy companies first, because we have to get rid of all of that fossil fuels and all that. So I think they would probably go after them to nationalize them. probably within the first year or so. That would be one of their first major plans. Then they'd probably go after a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, you know, try to take them over, you know, have them, because then if the government ran it, then it would be perfectly efficient, like all things the government does. Look at the VA, for instance. You know, look how wonderful that is for everyone involved in that system. So then they would start to take that over. By the end of the first year, I think we would see the economy begin to slow drastically. The piles and piles and reams of regulation that would come pouring out of a Democrat administration, Congress and Senate, passing new laws every single day, regulating everything, you know, where you can live, the type of soda you can drink, all for your own good, of course, the kind of sugar you can have. Everyone will be mandated to have all kinds of things before that. And that's even before they start going after the guns. I mean, they have a busy, busy agenda to dismantle our country when they take over in that first year. But I think the result you would see at the end of that first year was that the economy would start to slow, and it would slow drastically. We would start to see, the GDP drop down from the 2.5-3s that we're hitting now, down to the ones, back down to Barack Obama style, the new normal. We'd go back to the new normal, a 0.5% rise, and that would be for the first year. Industry would slow, people would be laid off. You would see a rise in people in the need for the welfare state to grow. Everything that, you know, is necessary for a socialist economy to run, because if everyone is not dependent on the government, then people are going to be running around with these pesky, you know, clinging to their God and guns. Remember that? Right? That's what would come up next. So we got to break people of that. And you break people of that by having them have lots of needs, like eating, drinking and toilet paper. We will bring everyone to everything. Will be so fair, it'll all be the same for all of us. Every one of us will need to get in line. Well, maybe not everyone. You know, there is that reality that I don't think everyone would be waiting in line for stuff. I don't think everyone would be stuck on government health care. They're not now, are they? You know, with the Obama plan, I think Congress was, they recused themselves from that, right? They were not required to, they had their own health care plan. I actually had an opportunity at a town hall meeting once. Representative Pallone from New Jersey was speaking, and my wife Kathleen and I went to this town hall, and I got a chance to ask a question, and it was about Obamacare. They were trying to run it through at the time. And I said, well, if it's such a great policy, Congress is going to write a law that says, of course, they have to be on it also, right? And he danced and he, you know, went around in a circle to basically say, well, you know, the Congress is exempt from that for lots of different reasons. The reality being, they're not going to live like we are, ladies and gentlemen. People in socialist countries that run it never live like the people do. And that would be a reality here in America, too. So instead of rising all our boats to higher levels, the way they would, you know, make everything even is they would bring us all down to a lower level where everyone had the same. So that's kind of what I see happening in that first year of a socialist presidency, Congress, and Senate. It sounds bleak, but we'll think about a couple of ways we can fight back when we come back to round two here on Chasing Justice.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and it is always a a good time to be here. So listen, in the first segment, we spent a lot of time talking about the what ifs. What if President Trump loses? So I've always looked at things like this. If you have concerns that two things could happen, the good thing or the bad thing, you know, we could spend a lot of time worrying about which way it's going to go. So a lot of times it's best to just kind of have faith, do your best, and hope for the best, right? But as many of you know, my TV show on the Disrupted TV network is called Hope Is Not a Tactic. It's about school safety and security. So if you haven't seen that, by the way, you should go take a look. It's Disrupted, disrupted-edtv.com. Go take a look at that and look up, you know, Hope Is Not a Tactic, where you could see Lieutenant Joe, and you'll understand why I have a face for radio. But anyway, what we would see is this change, and it would be difficult for all of us. But what could we do about that? You know, what can we do to prevent that, I guess, would be the question. That's the question in my notes here. You know, we talked about what we would see if the Democrats win. So how do we prevent that? You know, obviously we prevent that by going to the ballot box. In 2018, you have to look and see, well, how did the Democrats take over the House of Representatives? Trump won a pretty good election in 2016. The country was looking for someone to do something to change the way things were. You know, our friends on the left, they still don't understand why he won. How could this have happened? You know, because we're all deplorables. We're all racist. Anybody that voted for him, you know that. That's what the media tells you. That's the determination they've all made. We're haters. We're stupid. We were fooled. We're misogynists. You know, all the negatives of why would you vote for this person? When in reality, they still don't get. We are sick of their system. They have bastardized what the founding fathers set out to provide. Yeah, as far as for a constitutional type of a government, fairness and justice inherent in the system, individual ability to move yourself ahead, you know, providing for the common good as an overall concept, but they've really bastardized the American system and what we had, and it doesn't really look like that anymore, right? And that's one of the things. If you go to that Viewpoint show with Malcolm Out Loud, and you listen to Baruch, who was on there. The guy who's brilliant. He wrote a tremendous column. Go to the AmericaOutLoud.com platform and look for it. But his point is that, you know, this has already happened. That it's just the America's already been socialized. It just hasn't been completed yet. And Trump is the one who's the one doorstop that's keeping that door from being slammed shut, you know, the liberty and freedom door being slammed shut and having nothing but socialism. And that may or may not be true. You know, I mean, I think we've asked this before. Who's next after him? If he does win re-election, we have 4 more years. We know he'll fight. He'll fight hard for many of the things that we all believe in. He is not the be-all and end-all of everything. We know he has his flaws like all humans do. But if he is reelected, we get 4 more years of someone who's at least going to be fighting for what we believe in. If we keep the Senate, then we can keep these left-wing socialists at bay, probably for another 4 years. But what happens after that? You know, who's going to come along next? Are we going to get a swamp creature then? You know, do we get another person to come out of the country who's willing to stand up and be berated and attacked like Trump has been attacked? You know, have everybody against him every day, making up things about him, trying to attack him personally and his family. Do we have anybody like that going to be next? You know, say what you will. I like Mike Pence. I think Mike Pence is a good, decent man. He's been a good vice president. So if he were to come along, would he be strong enough to withstand the left-wing onslaught that would come at him? But that's a question for another day. Right now we're looking at, you know, what if Trump lost? So if he lost, I've described the way I think it would go. So how do we prevent that? How do you prevent that? In 2018, we didn't come out and vote. In 2018, with all of this change that everybody wanted in 2016, and we voted for President Trump, and we got this complete outsider to come in, and he was going to drain the swamp and do all these good things. How is it that in 2018, we elected a group of people to Congress who are not President Trump's? Well, how could we take away that one branch of government, the House of Representatives, that could have pushed his agenda completely, funded the wall completely, done everything that he needed to get done? How is it that we didn't come out and vote for them? What happened to us, I mean, in that two-year period? So is it potential that we could not come out again in 2020? I think it is. I think the reality is we're going to get an overwhelming amount of people coming out to vote. Now, I don't know how it's going to go. I really don't. I feel that the reality is that, just like the last time, there are millions of people out here who are not willing to say they would vote for President Trump. And for all the reasons, we've talked about before. Nobody wants their car smashed so they don't put Trump stickers on their car. They don't put Trump stickers in their front yard because people will throw eggs at their house, smash their stuff, steal things. You can't wear a hat going down the street because somebody will attack you, throw something at you. We've seen that over and over again. So I think there's the voter suppression that's going on is from the left to the right. But I think that there's millions of us who are in the background are going to do the same thing. They may or may not say they're for President Trump. They may or may not, like everything about him. But they certainly don't want any of these people from the left who are really, some of the bizarre, strange and bizarre are their positions that they would do these things to our country. So I think when everybody gets into that voting booth, I think we go in and do the right thing. I think people go in and go, Elizabeth Warren and socialism, or Trump and a bunch of tweets I don't care for. So I think they pushed the lever for Trump. At this point, I'm fairly confident that that's what's going to happen. But I'll tell you, it could go any way at any time. We never know. It's up to you if you're going to go out and vote. Are you going to go out and vote? Are you going to bring people with you? Are you going to talk to people? Are you going to try and make your case? Or are we just going to silently keep our mouth shut, move forward, get into the booth, and push the button and hope it comes out? And remember, hope is not a tactic. I think, how do we prevent this? Unfortunately, when I was thinking about this, I'm saying, unfortunately, I think we are moving into an era where most of us who are conservative on the right, we're busy at work, taking care of our families, trying to do the right thing. It's an all-consuming type of a thing. Going to church, being the right kind of person, trying to set good examples and all of that. We don't have time for protests. We don't have time to march and make crazy signs and storm our government halls. That's really a thing of the left. That's not what we do. I'm starting to think that it's unfortunate, but we're in a time that I didn't think would happen in my lifetime. I think the mantle of liberty and freedom is passed generation to generation, but it's our time, all of us who are voting age, that are conservative or to the right, it has been passed to us to maybe take to the streets. Maybe we're going to have rallies. Maybe we're going to have to take a day off from work. See, most of us, we would do it on a Saturday, on a day off, because we're thinking about going to work. We got to do the right thing. We don't just take days off. We actually have jobs, which I apologize. That's a backhanded slap. A lot of our friends on the left do work. But the reality is, I think we're going to have to adopt some of their tactics. We're going to have to be a little more militant in our demand for freedom. We're going to have to be more like our forefathers who, back in the day, they pledged their honor, their fortunes, and their very lives to the cause of freedom. And I think it's falling to us to be the people that may have to follow that up a second time, because it's not going well. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. And America usually pulls itself out every time before we make a really bad mistake. We've seen that over and over and over again. Trump is a perfect example. You know, had we voted for Hillary, could you imagine what it would be like now? I mean, we were so fed up with that. Even people who were Democrats obviously had to vote for Trump or he wouldn't be there. How disgusted everybody was with the economy, with all the nonsense that we were seeing, all these crazy left-wing policies, that we voted for Trump. We did the right thing. America pulled herself out of the fire. So can she do it again? Well, I think it's a very strong possibility that we are going to do it again. I think the seeds are set there that we're going to probably do that. But my point is, what comes after him? Is it Mike Pence? Is it Lindsey Graham? You know, these are people that are part of the system. And don't we all say that people within the system have a tendency to bend towards the system eventually? You know, can somebody withstand that pressure that President Trump is under every single day? To be treated the way he is, the media stories, the comments, the constant things. So who's next? That's going to be the answer. If we win this election, are we simply forestalling the inevitable? You know, is there an inevitable weight of what's coming? Because as I say all the time in columns and here on the show, I say all the time that the default position of humanity is to live under tyranny. That has always been the history of humans. Are we prepared to go back to that? Are we prepared to have 30, 40, 50, or 100 years of living under the yoke of a socialist nation before a new set of forefathers rises and casts that off? You know, look at how long the Soviet Union lasted. Now you can argue that there's not much difference today. It's a little bit different, but it's certainly not what it was. But it took them, 70, 60, 70, 80 years, to cast that off? Is that what's going to happen to America? Are we going to go into this socialist morass for 60 or 70 years before people are finally fed up with it? And in the meantime, what is the nature of socialism? The nature of socialism is that it sets the table for communism. You know, you depress the economy, you make the people dependent, you take away everyone's weapons. You know, the guns that we don't need, the ones that we don't have to worry about, weapons that can fight back. They should only be weapons that could shoot deer. When you don't have any ability to fight back, it makes resistance and it makes revolution much more difficult, doesn't it? When you can't fight back, when you have sticks and twigs, you're going to fight back against a government that would become more and more tyrannical. See, because I don't think the initial American socialist government would be tyrannical in that form, with gulags and, arresting people and carting them off in the night. But I think it has to go that way, because that's the only way to maintain that power, because people would be shocked by what they voted for. And after the economy plummets in the first year, by the second year, people will be saying, hey, this isn't right. But part of that second year of a socialist president, Warren, and Congress would be to then change the amendments, the Second Amendment, and remove, your weapons. You can have a flintlock to hunt deer, but everything else is going to go. There would be confiscation laws, which would start some problems. Obviously, there would be some people who would not want to give up their weapons, and they would have to go confiscate them, which is going to lead to physical fighting. Absolutely, physical fighting. But the media is not going to cover, the big bad government smashing down the door and taking people's guns. They're going to portray those people afterwards as they were dangerous and they wanted to maintain their weapons and they fired at the government troops that were coming to make us all safe by taking away those guns. So I see in year two, people would start to say, I think we made a mistake here. But by then, the processes will be in place, and then how does that government maintain itself? So by year three, we would have to say there's supposed to be an election coming up next year, and the majority of everyone would probably be ready to throw off this socialism stuff and vote themselves back to freedom and liberty. But is that what a socialist government is going to allow? And I say that, you should listen to that clearly. Are they going to allow that once they have attained that power? You know, if they're going to change our basic rights, change the process of the Constitution, through whatever means they would do it. Once you're in charge of everything and you control the courts, all it takes is one court decision. to say, you know, the Second Amendment really is not constitutional. And that sounds absurd. But you don't think you could see the Ninth Circuit saying that, you know, that was a right that was developed back in a time when people needed these guns to fight off the indigenous populations. They needed to fight off other countries that were here trying to establish themselves. We don't need that anymore. We have a government that will protect us. So you really don't need those Second Amendment rights. And you could see a court saying, yep, we agree. The Second Amendment really is unconstitutional in our modern world. And as absurd as that sounds, who's going to fight that when a court makes that decision? And if the court is run by people on the left, because what have they already said? Didn't the Democrats just write a letter to the Supreme Court telling them if they don't get their act together, they will take action against them? Yes, this is your Democrat Party writing a letter to the Supreme Court telling them if they don't start voting the right way, they're going to pack the court. They're going to add some seats and take it over. And then they'll straighten everybody out. So here we are in our scenario. We're at year three, and we have an election starting to loom. Now they'll control the press. And at this point, we know that socialist governments are not really open to the idea of getting voted out of office, so to speak. So we would have to see them change either the elections. You know, maybe the election shouldn't be every 4 years. Maybe there's an emergency and we're going to put it off for another year, you know, just so we can get through this emergency. And what emergency could there be? Who knows? They concocted a whole thing about Russian hoaxes, didn't they? Well, what if they concoct some kind of a conspiracy that there's a terrorist plot afoot in our country to do something, and therefore we have to put off the... See, all these things sound ridiculous until they happen. Socialist governments do not allow you to vote them out of office. So they would have to either change the elections, change the laws, or maybe say, we're not going to do elections anymore. We're going to, we're going to stay with this for a while. You don't see that coming? Or maybe they'll just destroy the candidates on the other side. You don't think they would fake up some stuff to have them arrested, right, for breaking the political correctness speech codes that would probably be implemented? Oh, yes, lots of good things coming our way if we go socialist. The problem is we'd be ready to get rid of them, I think. Would we be able to get rid of them? That is the question. So we'll think about that and a couple other things when we come back to segment three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. This is your favorite race car driver, Jack, from the neighborhood here on Chasing Justice. I'd like to remind everybody to listen to us at 3 o'clock every weekday here on America Out Loud Radio.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Okay, my friends, here we are. Round three. Ding, ding, ding. My cold is feeling a little bit better. I think sitting and talking with you helps me to feel better. A cup of coffee certainly helped. So I don't mean to paint such a bleak picture. I really don't. Like I said, I'm really not a pessimist, but I am a realist, and I see the weight of things coming. So my question, and the question on the Viewpoint program that I was very happy to be on with Malcolm Out Loud, was, you know, what if Trump loses? So I just left us in segment two. We were in year three, and our friends, the socialists, have to find a way to prevent we the people from rising back up and voting them out of office, getting rid of them, going back to a constitutional government with freedom as opposed to socialism. So how would that actually happen? This is where you would see the next American Revolution. This is the moment that it would have to take place logically. There's no way. If they decide that they're not going to be voted out of power, that they're not going to allow that, then how do you get them out of power? Well, the only way to do it is just like our forefathers did. Then you would have to have a hot revolution where you would actually have to fight. And who would participate in that? Well, obviously the military would be under the control of the government. But would our soldiers, our American men and women under arms, would they actually take action against the American people? I think initially they would follow the orders of their duly elected president. But I think as they started to see, especially if there was something going on where the elections were changed, the elections were put off, the elections were molested in some way, so that we didn't have just an election where we could say, hey, we're done with this, we're moving on. I don't see our military following through and coming after us. I don't. I think that would be the bright spot. That would be the heroism we would need. That would be the moment America would pull itself out of the fire, because I think you would see, I would see some of our great generals refuse to order their troops into Oklahoma to put down a rebellion of these people who were demanding an election, or crashing the gates into New Jersey to mollify the population because they were demanding the right to vote the socialist government out of office. Because our military is filled with heroes, men and women who are red, white, and blue at the soul, who are constitutional people. So I think that would be the bright spot that would help us. But we would all have to join in with them. We would have to make a stand. So what do I suggest? I'm suggesting that before we get to that point, before it gets to the point of a fighting revolution where people would get hurt, it would be terrible. You know, before we get to that, let's use our words. Let's use our deeds. Let's use our Constitution now by getting involved, by us, our conservatives, the ones who really don't get involved in things other than voting. So first of all, we have to vote. I would say write to your congressman, write to your senator, write 20 letters and then mail one every month. Phone call them. Make sure that the phone boards in the offices of your congresspeople are lit up day and night. You know, make sure they hear from you. If they have a rally in your state, go there. Make signs. Bring your friends. You know, show up and adopt some of the tactics of those on the left. We have to go there and protest. We have got to get up and start moving. Because an analogy that I see here is like the frog that sits in the bucket of water and the water starts to heat up. Well, the heating water is socialism all around us. And we're sitting there and it's not too bad. It's a little warm, it's a little uncomfortable, but we're busy, so we're just going to sit there. By the time it gets so red hot that we're about to be vanquished, it's too late. So what I'm saying is we need to get involved with our words, with our spirit. We have to get out and vote. We have to make sure we bring people out to vote, no matter what it is. So that's the first step. You know, going to the next level, that's not going to be dictated by us. That's going to be dictated by them and what they do. So I think by year four, we would see this socialist government who maybe be hanging on to power. I think we would at that point see either they realize this is not the right thing to do and allow it to happen, allow us to take it back, or there would be a hot fight. Are you ready for that? It doesn't seem possible in our age, in our day and age, right? Does it? That there would be a hot fight. But isn't there a hot fight all around the world? Look at Venezuela. People are starving to death. People are marching. The government is sending the troops in. It happens. We just can't imagine it happening here in America. But you know what? We're foolish to think that kind of a thing. Because who would ever think that we would have socialists running for major political offices and winning and saying they want to take away your guns and saying, coming right out and saying, you're darn right, we're going to take your guns. Who would think that we would actually have that in America? Who would think we would have people who would declare themselves as Democrat socialists, and lots of people would think, hey, that's the way to go? Who would think that our young people would think that living under socialism or communism would be better than capitalism? A majority of our young people, as a matter of fact. Who would ever have thought that? And this is why I say the mantle of freedom and liberty has fallen to us. It's happening in our lifetime as we are the adults. The call is going out to us. Do we ignore that call, or do we answer the call? Are we willing to pledge our lives, our reputations, our honor, and our fortunes to the cause of liberty? See, the history books come alive then, don't they? Because now you are asked to be a founding father or founding mother. You are asked to be the one who upholds freedom and liberty and America and the Constitution. That's what it's coming down to. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theory person. I'm not a wild-eyed person. But I see things coming. I see the changes that are coming that we never would have thought possible. Well, they're here and they're upon us now. The water is getting warm all around us, frogs. We better hop out of this pot now before we need someone to knock that pot off the stove to save us. That is my point. So that's what I see. So positively, I think by year four, we would either overwhelm them with our support of liberty and freedom. We would all stand up and do the right thing, and they would make their graceful exit off the stage before they're prosecuted into oblivion. Or we have to fight our way out of it. But either way, I think we do come back. Because that's who we are as people. That's who Americans are. That is our legacy, you know? So I do think we come back in year four. So you see, there's my positive answer to it. One way or another, we'll get rid of this socialism nonsense. Then I think maybe we need to have a constitutional amendment to our Constitution that do we completely disallow socialist governments and parties? Is that something we do constitutionally, that they are not permitted to be a part of our system? Even though we're all about freedom and liberty and we can do whatever we want, is the Constitution, is it really a suicide pact? You know, there's so much freedom in there, we could vote our freedom away. We'd be allowed to do that. Somebody could run along and say, I want to be dictator. And if enough people vote for him, that person would become dictator. That seems a little crazy, right? That we would do such a thing? Is it possible? Anything, my friends, is possible. So do we do a constitutional amendment that says socialist, communist political parties are not permitted in America? The only political parties permitted in America are ones that are centered and dedicated to the United States Constitution. Should there be a guideline that says if your party is anything other than constitutional, you can't run? You're outlawed, as a matter of fact. You know, like some countries have outlawed the Nazi Party. Should we come along and say the Nazi Party is banned completely, is illegal, and any socialist party is banned completely and illegal? The only parties that are allowed to run are freedom and liberty parties. Should we do that as a constitutional amendment? You know, our Constitution has changed over the years because we have evolved, and we saw that some things were right and some things were wrong, and we had to change our thinking. We've had to cure some of our sins of the past, and we did that through the constitutional process. Have we now become so enlightened that we start to realize that, gee, this is not a suicide pact? Some of these things that we are permitted to do through freedom would really not be in our best interest, like voting our freedom away, right? So would it be smart to have an amendment that says certain political ideologies, well, you can talk about them, you know, you're not going to go to jail because you want to be a socialist, but there'll be no permitting of a socialist party to run in any election in the United States. You must be dedicated to the Constitution, to freedom and liberty. I think it's an idea. Am I going too far? Is that tyrannical thinking in itself, that you could limit someone's choices? Well, I think if we give people complete freedom of choice and they choose to do something really bad, I think we limit that, don't we? I mean, we don't let people who, hey, I just feel like being a raper. Well, we don't let you go raping, running around. We have laws against it. We say, no, you can't do that. We don't let people just go around and settle their problems by murdering somebody, do we? No, we say you can't do it. So why would we allow a political party to come in that says, well, we could take away your liberties. We could take away your freedoms. We could take away your rights because you voted for it. Why would we allow that? I don't think that makes sense. I think we are enlightened enough to realize that we do it through the constitutional process. We've identified now these ideologies that are antithetical to freedom and liberty, and we say they are not permitted to hold political power or office in any way in the United States. I don't know. What do you think about that? Something about it seems right, and something about it seems wrong, limiting our choices. I don't like doing that. But I don't like saying you have an option of killing ourselves. I just don't like that at all, because that's what our Constitution allows. It gives us the right to destroy ourselves if we choose to do so. And I think maybe we need to be more enlightened and add on to what the Founding Fathers thought, because now we have 200 and something years experience with human nature. You know, they crafted the Constitution because they understood human nature. They understood how people were, and they tried to set up a system that gave us, the people, the power of our own destiny, as opposed to a government entity, which they knew how that ran because it ran based on human nature. Are we smart enough to do the same thing? Are we smart enough to learn that lesson from our forefathers and say, maybe it's time that we say, we make this a law that unless you're for freedom and liberty, you can't have power. I think I've beaten that horse to death now. So just a thought. I really would like to hear from you. If you go to If you go to Twitter, at Pangaro Global, at Pangaro Global, you can follow me. You can jump in. You can tweet to me. I like to hear different points of view. You know, I put out lots of stuff now on Twitter. Commentary, things that I think, you know, I'm dropping stuff out there. And I don't get, everyone doesn't just agree. I get people who disagree. And that's fine. I like to hear people's opinions. You can also reach out to me at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I would love to hear what you have to think and say about anything that I talk about or whatever's on your mind. Because this is what this is. You know, this whole entire platform, americaoutloud.com, is about voicing ourselves. It is the voice of a nation. It is the voice of freedom. We are the other side of things. And we get to talk. You get to talk. So reach out to us. Listen to the shows. It's really a great place to be. And I'm glad I can sit here and talk to you. So now that I've given you my scenario on what if Trump loses, what I think would happen. If he wins and we forestall it, I think there are some patriots out there. Who would they be? Maybe Lieutenant Joe will run for president, you know, after another 4 years of President Trump. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll jump in. I'll put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. We'll see. Some other things that are going on, okay? Because I want to end the show on a little bit more of an up note. And I hope you don't take it as negativity. I'm just throwing out a warning out there of what I see. And I don't want us to fall into that. We deserve better than that. We're Americans. We do the right thing. So we saw a poll that came out. And it's the poll says that President Trump is the least liked president in the United States in our history. Second only to George W. Bush after Katrina. Funny that these polls come out and say these Republicans that won double elections, Trump hasn't yet, but I think he will, that won double elections are the least liked. You know, they're the least liked people. And it's all because of the media coverage. Right? Didn't the media, did they report to you that it was actually the state's responsibility during Katrina to make sure that they got everybody out of there and they needed to ask for federal help? Right? Now, of course, a lot of us sit back and think that, you know, the president can just do whatever within the states, but that's not, study our government, figure out how it's supposed to work. Should they have been ready? Yes, they should have been ready. I think, you know, I live in a state where it snows. So I think as it starts to become, you know, the fall, you start to pile up some snow, removal equipment. I think you need to pile up some salt so you can salt the roads. You have to think ahead. What could possibly happen? And I think the same thing. We know we have hurricane season every year. Okay? So should we have a government agency with some very large ships that are filled with supplies in September, and they start floating up and down the East Coast? And when a hurricane is about to strike an area, they get in there quick. They deploy personnel. They deploy food and water at its locations. I don't know. It's an idea. Should we be more prepared? Should we have an agency of preparedness? I don't know. Just a thought. But President Trump is the least liked president. I think this goes back easily to the fact that people do not want to declare themselves pro-Trump. I think they want to just hang back. And I think they also twist the polls, too, because the polls now are done not to just report an opinion, but to make news. So I think if you ask the question in the right way, and you can get any answer you want. So they may ask a question, do you think that Trump's tweeting is something you approve of? And you'd see, 80% of people don't like the tweeting. You know, we're not used to people speaking their mind. We don't like that. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable. So they would say, no, we don't approve of that. Trump has 82% disapproval rate. You know, they twist things around. Imagine that, the media making up things and lying. Isn't that crazy that we have a media now we know we can't trust? Isn't that amazing that, you know, I know lots of people that I never would have expected will say, I don't believe the news at all. I don't believe it for a minute. That's terrible, ladies and gentlemen, that we have that kind of a thing. All right. And the last thing I'll talk about is the people who were going to storm Area 51. You know, the truth seekers. Now, that's a little out of the way, but that's really in homage to Jim the Contrarian, who is probably sitting somewhere now with his tinfoil hat, worrying that the aliens are coming to get him. That turned out to be a bust. They had 150 or so people show up out of the 2 million who signed up. 150 people showed up, and they were met by armed guards at the gate saying, don't be stupid. This is a military installation. You cannot just storm the gates looking for aliens. I think they arrested two people who tried to jump the gate. But that's our country. We're allowed to do that, right? All right. So we had a lot to talk about today. It's a serious topic. You know, a serious topic. You know, I like to be fun sometimes. You know, we like to do skits here once in a while and keep it on the light side. I like to have the neighborhood guys in here for fun conversation. But we have to talk about these serious things. We need to think. We need to look down the road, pop our heads up and see what's going on to make sure we're ahead of it. Freedom and liberty and justice is worth fighting for. We need to use our words before we do anything else. So let's all be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Remember, that's our motto here. So thanks for joining me here again on Chasing Justice. We'll see you again soon on the America Out Loud Radio Network.